Somebody say good morning. It really is a good morning. God is just been saturating me. That's a weird term. Some of you are new to church, like, what the heck does that mean? I just kind of feel overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord. And I feel that for those of you that are following along with the app, just turn it off. I had a sermon completely ready and prepared and geared for today in this Real Talk series, and circumstances have changed in my life this past week where it just needs to be put on hold. There are our plans, I think, then there's God's plans, and I sense that He wants to do something in this room today in your lives and in my life, and I just want to be obedient to Him in what we are presenting. And I don't really like these moments where I don't necessarily have everything in my head of what's going to happen. For those of you that don't know, when I come up here and preach a sermon, this service is not the first time I preached it. I've preached that sermon about 7 or 8 times in my house. I've preached the paint off of my walls before, just like, because I want to be prepared with what God has given me to share in His Word. And you know, so when I come up here, I'm ready. I mean, I'm locked and ready. Some people have come to me before going, is it okay if I ask you a question? I know you got a sermon, you got to think. I come in here ready, so whatever. Let's just ask me. You know, I'm not one of those guys that can't be bothered before a sermon. But, you know, in moments like this, though, where I feel like God's asking me to put that message on hold for a minute and just be led by Him, I get really nervous in those moments because I want to be right with my gift. And then I ask God, like, well, what do you want to do? You know, He said, I want you to sing this song. And I'm like, okay, wait, what? You know? And so thank you, Tim, for being away this weekend. But I asked Mary if I could use this guitar. But I don't feel like worship is necessarily done yet. And I want you, if we would, the song is a song that I grew up singing. When I first started going to church, and they would sing this old song. And you know, there's just so much going around right now in the world, in the nation, in some of your lives here this morning. There's so much frustration maybe that you may have in your heart over challenges and circumstances that you may be facing here today. And we may come in here with heavy hearts, and it's so easy to be stressed out and just, you know, just heavy. You kind of, some of you wear it on your sleeve. So, you know, we get it. We all come in here at times just feeling a little burdened, you know, from the troubles of life outside these walls that we so often experience. But at the end of the day, it just is all about getting behind Jesus and following Him, because He has everything we need. And I don't know, it's just a song that I feel like He's wanting to put on our hearts here today. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Let's sing that one more time. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And we used to sing this, the cross before me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I will follow you, and I will follow you. Oh, guide me, Lord, and show me your ways, and I will follow you, and No turning back, no turning back. Can we just give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. No turning back. No turning back. How many know that this Christ life is filled with opportunity after opportunity, and at times the desire upon desire upon desire to stop and to be tempted just to turn back, because it's just so hard, and at times it hurts to move forward in this journey after Jesus. Right? I mean, I don't think I'm alone in that. I'm talking the times when spiritual progress hurts. I'm talking the time when the steps toward Jesus are filled with pain. You know, our family experienced a loss this past week in the loss of my grandfather. And when I say my grandfather, I mean my father's father, and my father who's here this morning. And, you know, there's great pain in the loss of a loved one. And, you know, there's something about losing a loved one, and for those of you that have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's something about losing a loved one that makes you comb through your life, that makes you just comb through life with your mind, and oftentimes you just realize that you only got one life. You only got one. You only got one to live. Life in itself is very precious. And with that mindset, I don't know about you, but this week I walked out of this weekend into this weekend just with these words: make your life count. Make your life matter. Make your life, the one that you have been given, make it count, make it matter. And when I say that, I mean this, like, don't be chained to the things that hold you back. Don't be chained to things that hold you back from being who He made you to be. I mean, I say that this weekend to your life, I pray you hear with love. Because I sense that your life isn't much different than mine. You know, this is a church where we're all jacked up. I mean, we all have issues. We all have problems. You have come to a church here this morning full, 100%. For those of you that are brand new and you think church has to be perfect, we are the wrong church for you here this morning. So I will give you grace in heading out that door right now and heading to North Road. Or you can check out Calvary, or you can go to First Baptist, or go to the United Methodist Church. They are all a lot holier than us. Amen. We are the worst church in the area. Amen. I want you to know, like, but when I say that all to say, like, there are all of us that struggle with things that will try and chain us and stop us and hold us back from being who God created you to be with the one life that you've been given. I mean, I walked out of my grandfather's house and you know, he passed away on Thursday night, and it was right before, when they took him away, the storms hit. And the flood waters came and just saturated nearly all of our property, and the electricity went out, and we were just like, wow. And we were all just kind of forced in their house. We couldn't leave. For those of you who know our property, like, all our family lives together on property, like, not in the same house, but in different homes. And we couldn't even get over next door to my sister's house. Like, the flood waters were just creaks and streams and springs. Just wow, and we're all just sitting there just reminiscing and just sharing life together. And I walked out of that night experience and every day just I'm gonna die one day. I went and checked the stats before I came in. I think it's one out of every one person die. Those are the latest stats. Like, we're all gonna go. All of us. This life is short, friends. And I think that maybe God wanted to create an interruption moment in your life here today, to put the sermon that I had prepared for on hold for next week, to come and tell you here today to make your life count. The one life that you've been given, make it matter, friends. Jesus came to give you life, and life more abundantly. Galatians chapter 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for, here's the reason, freedom that He came to set you free. Now, that word freedom in the Greek means liberty. And that word liberty, I wrote it down. It says euthereria, which literally means not that you're free to do what you want, but free to do what you should be doing. Jesus broke the chains of sin in your life so that you could be free to do what he made you to do with the one life that you've been given. But so often we try and rechain ourselves back up to depression. We try and rechain ourselves back up to addiction. We try and reattach the chains of sin and muck and mire to our lives that hold us back from being who God created us to be. We hold on to the things that stop us or bring a halt to our walks with Christ that are ever present to take us to the dream he created us to be. I had an opportunity. You know, I don't know why we do that. I don't, maybe you could come up here and give us the reason for. I don't know why we do stupid things. I don't know why I do stupid things. Like why we hold back on to the things that just halt us. Why we hold on to things that stop our progress in our spiritual walk. Why do we do that? I was in the prison ministry. Were you in prison Saturday? Or is it floodwaters? Has everything stopped yet? We were in the prison on Monday, Tim and I. And I shared this story with the ladies in the wing, and I've shared this before, and I'm sorry, you got to hear some of my stories over and over again. Everybody, once every 3 years, you're going to keep hearing the same stories over and over again. But, I shared the story of a pastor friend of mine who was telling me he got to sit in on an investigation to two parents that were being questioned in the physical abuse of their 4-year-old daughter. And the police officer got to sit behind the glass, interrogation glass. He got to sit behind that with the police psychologist, where they were looking in a room where the mother and the father were both being accused of abusing the 4-year-old, and they didn't know which one was doing it. And so they have this way to figure it out. They've obviously combed through with all their psychological experts the ways to figure this out. And they said this is usually the telltale sign of who the abuser is. And they released the 4-year-old into the interrogation room, and she ran to her mother and embraced her. And the psychologist said to the pastor, "Who do you think the abusive parent is?" And he said, "The father," because she ran to the mother. And he said, "Wrong. The abusive parent, I'll guarantee you 9.9 times out of 10, it's the mother in this case, because she ran to him." And he goes, "Well, I don't understand. Why did the 4-year-old run to her then? Why didn't he run to safety?" And he said this to her. He said this to the pastor, "Because we found that you bond to what breaks you. You bond to what breaks you." She was scared to hold on to anything else. And I began to think about that story, and I said, you know what? That's us as people. We hold on to things that hurt us, but we don't let it go. Like anger, like depression, self-doubt, insecurity. Why do we hold on to these things that abuse us? Bitterness and unforgiveness. We cling on to it when it does nothing but destroy us and halt our progress in our spiritual walks to Jesus. It does nothing but try and put a pause on the freedom that Christ set us free for. Lust. We hold on to it. Addiction. How many have a family member that maybe you used to be somebody that was incarcerated, or you know somebody incarcerated because of addiction or criminal activity that they just couldn't get out of? We bond to what breaks us as people. I know it doesn't make sense, does it? It literally doesn't make sense that we would hold on to things that hurt us. And so I'm not here to talk for a long time here, because I sense that God wants to do something in your life here this morning. Because I sense that there are some in this room, you're clinging to things right now. You're clinging to things that are destroying you right now. And they will end up destroying you. They're going to destroy your dream. What you're holding on to right now is destroying your dream. It's destroying your family. It's destroying your marriage, married people. It's destroying your hopes to be married, single people. It's destroying your relationships. It's destroying your job. And here's God's word for you today. There's three words. Let it go. Today. Let it go. Whatever it is, let it go. Now's not the time to act like you got something to do right now. Some of you looking around. No. Let it go. Let it go this morning. God is wanting to interrupt this weekend for you. Tell you to let it go. Today. It may hurt. It may hurt to let it go. Right? Because all we've known is the embrace of it. It may hurt to let that anger go. There's some people specifically that need to really let go of unforgiveness. And you feel like right now, if you, and hey, nobody told me about you, so don't come and ask me questions after the service, okay? I get that all the time. Who told you about my stuff? Nobody. And I'll say, get over yourself. Amen. You think I got something better to do with my time than hear you and then create a whole sermon about it? Could it be that God may just be moving and speaking in your life here today? And plus, you're not the only one that's going through stuff. Amen. Like, some of you are holding on to unforgiveness at such a level that if you feel like you let go, then they've won. Here's the thing. Who cares? I'm trying to get the message across that God says he's trying to get you to win. He's trying to get you to win, and you will always lose, friends, with unforgiveness. You're not God, so your judgment cast on them isn't going to change their life. God's judgment will change their life, so pray for them. But you let it go, because you have a dream that God's trying to get you to go to. Some of you have been hurt in the past, and this message is starting to dig those feelings back up. Listen, that's a good thing. Let it go. Be free here today. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It may hurt, friends, but listen. You may be, well, I didn't. Some of you may have brought a friend. This guy is so funny. You will love him. You know, there's not a joke in the room yet, you know. You know, so following Christ doesn't feel good all the time. Following Christ hurts, right? What did Jesus say in Luke? I think it's Luke 9:23. This right here, this scripture, man, I'm telling you what. I hate this scripture. It says, then he, Jesus, said to them all. Everybody say all. All right, so can't exclude yourself. If anyone, everybody say anyone. Anyone, that's all of us, right? Desires to come after me. Other interpretations may say, if anyone would follow me, right? If anyone desires to come after me, check this out. Let him, let them, watch this, deny themselves. Deny themselves. These impulses that we normally do, these things that we hold on to that hurt us, these things that we bond to that break us, these feelings that we so often are led by life in, let them deny themselves, all of those things. Take up their cross daily. Jesus was saying, I'm not the only one that's going to be on a cross here. We've got to crucify our desires. We've got to crucify those negative thoughts. We've got to crucify our impulses and those bad habits that try and attach themselves. We've got to put them on the cross. It says every day. And the last three words are, and follow me. See, to follow Christ requires us to get out of our own way. And so I want to challenge you here this morning. To live out what we just sung out. I love that song. I sing that song by myself all the time. So you can imagine how horrified I was that I just did that out here, because I am not Tim Overstreet, you know, at all. Such a gifted guy. I'm not Mary or Brittany or Nancy or, you know, gifted singers, Leah. But Jesus told me this after I was singing this song in prayer the other day. He goes, you can sing it, but can you live it? I have decided to follow Jesus. Following Jesus requires us to let go of the things that stop us from following him. And so I want to, Brittany, where's Brittany at? Can you come up here and just play I See Heaven, that last song? Is that cool? Because I didn't ask you that, your permission. And I'm asking you that in front of everybody, so it would be so awkward if you said no. But the reason I love that song so much is that you just sense heaven coming in the room. You sense the atmosphere of glory. And the last part of the song says, let his presence fill the place, fill this place. Let heaven come. I want to tell you this morning, heaven is here. Heaven is here. He is here, and he has your best interests at heart. So what is it? What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that you've been embracing for so long that God came in here and told me to tell you to let it go? What is it? Only you know what that is. And so right here in this room, you don't got to tell me what it is. Okay, so I'm not going to have the leaders come up or anything like that and have you spill off everything to us. Okay, we're not going to do that here in this moment. That's appropriate for times. But right here in this moment, just you and him, he's here for you. Don't take that as a generalized statement. Blows my mind that God has the ability to focus on each and every person at the exact same time. In different prayers and contexts. I mean, it just blows my mind. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent, meaning he's everywhere all the time with an unlimited amount of power available for your life. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is for you to be liberated to do what you were made to do. Will you let it go? So right here in this moment, Brittany's going to start to sing this song. And just during the song, you don't got to sing it with her, okay? But let the song minister to you. If you got to close your eyes and you have to picture the person that needs to be forgiven, the person, the offense that has been done to you, if you got to picture it and you got to say in your heart, whisper under your breath, I let you go. I'm going to let it go. I let it go. And with every let it go, friends, that if it's addiction that you're holding on to, I let it go this morning. I let it go. I'm not going to hold on to that which is hurting me. I let it go in this room. With every let it go, you are being placed right behind him again, Journey Church, because some of you, you're way far away from him. And he hasn't gone anywhere. It is you, the one that has strayed. I let it go, and I'm telling you, heaven will pick you up and put you right behind him again and ask you to keep your eyes on him from here on out and follow him. So right now, I'm telling you, as heaven is just invading this place, not for the sake of heaven, but for the sake of you in this room.